Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Ki Jai. Translation. The five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the ten senses and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and convictions, all these are considered, in summary, to be the field of activities and its interactions. The five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the ten senses and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. Purport. From all the authoritative statements of the great sages, the Vedic hymns and the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra, the components of this world can be understood as follows. First, there are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the five great elements, Mahabhuta. Then, there are false ego, intelligence, and the unmanifested states of the three modes of nature. Then there are the five senses for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, the ears, nose, tongue and skin. Then five working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus and genitals. Then above the senses there is the mind, which is within and which can be called the sense within. Therefore, including the mind, there are 11 senses altogether. Then there are the five objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. Now the aggregate of these 24 elements is called the field of activity. If one makes an analytical study of these 24 subjects, then he can very well understand the field of activities. Then there are desire, hatred, happiness and distress, which are interactions, representations of the five great elements in the gross body. The living symptoms represented by consciousness and convictions are the manifestation of the subtle body, mind, ego and intelligence. These subtle elements are included within the field of activities. The five great elements are a gross representation of the false ego, which in turn represents the primal stage of false ego, technically called the materialistic conception, or tamasa buddhi, intelligence in ignorance. This further represents the unmanifested stage of the three modes of material nature. The unmanifested modes of material nature are called pradhana. One who desires to know the 24 elements in detail, along with their interactions, should study the philosophy in more detail. In Bhagavad Gita, a summary is given. The body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes of the body, which are six in number. The body is born, it grows, it stays, it produces by products, then it begins to decay, and at last stage it vanishes. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. However, the kshetrajna, the knower of the field, its proprietor is different. So, however, the kshetrajna, the knower of the field, its proprietor is different. Okay, so it's very technical purport and verse. I'll read again. Translation and Sanskrit also. Mahabhutani ahankaro buddhira vyaktame vacha indriyanida saikam cha pancha chendriya gocharaha. Ichadvesa dukam dukam sukam dukam sangatas chetanadriti itakshetram samasena savikaram udakritam. The five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the ten senses and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. Okay, so I'll do is I'll recap a little bit from the beginning of the chapter. I'll read translations, so just to situate better in context. Text number one says, Arjuna is inquiring from Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, Purusha, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the object of knowledge. Lord Krishna replied, this body is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. Then he says, verse 3, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what is its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influence are. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Mother, you like to give class? Sorry, I didn't ask you. Huh? Yeah? But I don't know, you're more senior to me, so if you like, you're as much welcome. Maybe you feel like giving, or, I don't know, maybe you long time you're not giving, right? Maybe better you give. Yeah, but... No. Yes, but... I'm just asking you because maybe you feel like giving and you like to. Okay, it's up to you then. Yeah? 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 Mahara asked me to give. Thank you. Krishna, all the rest, to senior devotees. Well, this is actually very, very, very technical. This is Sankhya Yoga, actually. Yeah? Sankhya Yoga is a detailed analysis of the constitution of the material world. We're talking about the field of activities. It is not spiritual knowledge, although it is material, although it is described here by Lord Krishna in order to get deliverance from the entanglement of material life, it is actually very much the Lord is giving this knowledge so that one can get free of it. It is also mentioned, I read it somewhere in the previous verses of purports. And Prabhupada mentions, I think, that by having in this, you see, in verse 3, Lord Krishna in the translation is saying, and to understand this body and its knower, which of course this is a soul, is called knowledge. So both we need to, actually, because we the body is yantra, it's called, is actually the vehicle through which we can navigate through this material existence. So because we are under the influence of this body, then we need. It is very interesting, actually, to know about that, about this knowledge. So what I'll do, maybe we can go through the purport in a more um, detailed way, so we can actually have maybe better understanding. Yeah? So, from all the authoritative statements of the great sages, the Vedic hymns and the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra, the components of this world can be understood as follows. So this is given by great sages who gave his statements by this is in the Vedic hymns, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, and the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra. The components of this world can be understood as follows. First, there are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the five great elements, Mahabhuta. Then there are the false ego, intelligence, and the unmanifested stage of the three modes of nature. These unmanifested state of the three modes of nature. You have any comment on this? The unmanifested stage of the three modes of material nature. How is it called in Sanskrit? Let me see. Avyaktam. Okay, avyaktam. Pradhan, you mean? Pradhana? Or Mahatattva? No. Mahatattva is the complete, actually. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so I have manifested the stage of the three modes of nature. So this is a field of activity, right? And manifested the stage of the three modes of nature and its interactions. Then there are five senses for acquiring knowledge, five working senses. Then there is the mind, which is within, can be called the sense within. Therefore, including the mind, 11, five objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, thoughts, and sound. Now the aggregate of these 24 elements is called the field of activity. The aggregate means complete, isn't it? Yeah, everything together. Okay. Thank you, Madhu. So the whole thing, is 24 elements, is called the field of activities. And it's curious, this unmanifested stage of the three modes also is one of them, the aggregate. Unmanifested stage. If one makes... If one makes an analytical study of these 24 subjects, then he can very well understand the field of activity. Then there are desire, hatred, happiness, and distress, which are interactions. These four representations of the five great elements in the gross body. So this desire, hatred, happiness, and distress are interactions and representations of the five great elements in the gross body. So it is related with the five great elements, isn't it? Representations, I see. The life symptoms represented by consciousness and convictions are the manifestation of the subtle body, mind, ego and intelligence, the life symptoms and convictions. These subtle elements are included within the field of activities. Yeah, it's subtle, very subtle. The five great elements are a gross manifestation of the false ego. Which in turn represent the primal stage of false ego, technically called the materialistic conception of Tamasa Buddhi. Intelligence in ignorance. This further represents the unmanifested stage of the three modes of material nature. The manifested modes of material nature are called pradhan. Oh yeah, this is what we saw before, right? The manifested modes of material nature. I read this paragraph again. Let's see if we have maybe, well, it's myself, better understand. The five great elements are a gross representation of the false ego, which in turn represents the primal stage of false ego, technically called the materialistic conception, or tamasa buddhi, intelligence in ignorance. Yeah, that actually makes sense, isn't it? That makes sense. Intelligence in ignorance, a representation of the false ego. Those are the five great elements of false ego. One who desires to know the 24 elements in detail, along with their interactions, should study the philosophy in more detail. In Bhagavad Gita, a summary is only is given. The body is the representation of... Actually, I'm just thinking about this verse in chapter 2, verse 60... What is that... There's one verse where the Lord is saying, so far I have described this knowledge. Hello? Yeah, the shoes is here, it's not good. Huh? Shoes, your shoes. No. It is one verse we're saying, I have explained. I've explained this knowledge. I cannot find it. Okay. The body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes of the body, which are six in number. The body is born. Actually, today I was listening to Prabhupada video, and I just a little bit, not much, but this is actually this. He was talking about this, how the body grows, is born, six stages, isn't it? It's there. We're in chapter 13 now. Yeah. Today is verse 6 and 7. Yeah, the end of the purport is there. Then it vanishes into oblivion somewhere else, Prabhupada. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. Yeah. It is actually very interesting, this purport. Really? Because you are a very technical person, analytical. Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. They say it's faith, you know, that we are blind people who have faith, but actually this is based, it's not blind, you know. Okay, so yes, he was mentioning about this. Yeah, this is interesting because this comes up again here. I was thinking you should have been giving class, you know. Anyway. Really, you had this feeling inside, because I haven't prepared this verse, to be honest, I don't know what to say much about it. There is one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and somewhere that it is explained that. Lord Krishna is saying that they are in the same level. In the same level, one who is actually Sankhya Yoga, because he's looking for the root of all existence, isn't it? By analyzing these elements, one comes to the conclusion that Vishnu is actually the root of all the material and spiritual energies. So finally, he will come to bhakti. So there is no difference. And Lord Krishna says that those who are in knowledge do not consider one path better than the other. So it's actually like that. This verse was for me difficult to accept, because for me bhakti was superior to Sankhya. But actually, Kapila Dev in the third canto describing Sankhya to his mother Devahuti, and so we have to accept Lord Krishna's statements, and is like that. It is a type of yoga for a type of people who have this intelligence, who want to discriminate and to analyze the world in this way. So this maybe would be actually, as Madhu Gopal was saying here, I think it's very right, because he's saying that actually this would be a good way of actually for preaching to the scientists, you know, to explain these descriptions of the elements of the world, and give arguments so they can understand, you know, because maybe they are not ready for a devotional approach, some of them. So it would be a good idea to have this line of preaching, you know? Because in this way, they could understand, or they could have more elements for judgment, like that. So, what I'll do, I'll read verse 8 to 12, because in this verse, which is tomorrow's, we have more items of knowledge. Lord Krishna is saying, all this I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. The verse says like that. Amanitvan adambitvam ahimsak santirarjamam acharyo pasanam saucham staryam adma vinigraha indiyarte su vairagyam anahankarae vacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkado sanudarsanam asaktir anavishwa sangha putra dara grihadishu nityam cha samachita tvam istanisto papatisu majichana nyayogena bhaktira vyavicharini vidikta desa sevitva maratir jana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tadva jnanartha darsanam eta jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yat atonyata. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness, I mean pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all this I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. I remember I was reading a book about a spirit. What was that? Science and Spirit. What was the thing it was called? And it's such a nice book. It makes a comparative between the consciousness of a person in a spiritual consciousness, and a person who is actually just limited to the scientific method, which is actually rejecting. It is rejecting this spiritual energy, you know, because it's not within the scientific method. And it actually describes how narrow are the parameters that explain the world through science. And explains actually, because by reading both verses, isn't it, you can see how there is a great difference between the previous verse and this one. Actually, this verse is one of my favorites. Actually, of course, both are really impressive, but to me, this verse it describes more fine elements, isn't it? And it is more, not so scientific, isn't it, like the previous one, which is also very interesting, you know, to be honest. But in this one you can see actually how these are real values, more in the field of values and behavior, you know, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching one of a spiritual master, cleanliness, steady, self-control, and steadiness. So, I'm really so inspired. And things are not flowing. No? Especially it's been recorded, right? Thank you, Prabhupada, but you also have to be sincere, you know what I mean? It does not flow, you know? I think you should have given lecture. I I really have this feeling too, I'm telling you. That's why I was telling you. Yes, but yeah, you're right. But this is you know, when you have to also preach from the standpoint where you are, you know, from your level, you know, I mean to say, from your level. So also the relationship between devotees is also very important, you know. So I thought I should have invited you with more emphasis. This is my feeling, I have this feeling, so I have to express it, you know. Because, for example, one of the items of knowledge, this is application of knowledge, you know, is selflessness, you know. I don't know if it's here. Is it not here? So in this case, I should have been selfless by giving, still being more, how to say, more insistent. Please, if you like to give. Although I say it, but I have this, I think I will have the right choice to do. Now it's too late because only 3 minutes left. And these guys are going to come, you know. I hope this lecture nobody listens. I don't know how to get the entanglement. The entanglement with the microphone. It's an entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. But does not say entanglement with a one. Anyway, yes, this, well, I follow your instructions, you know, that this is actually, I'm just saying, humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others, but from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he's progressing. He can judge by these items. You know, this is such a fantastic work for them. Really, really, so much is here. Prabhupada is saying, actually, it's connected. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. It is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. You see, this is my point, you know? I was trying to make exactly this, Prabhupada is saying. You know? The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, you know? Which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out of it. You see? This is a very interesting point because it is very nice previous verse, because it's such a nice description of the whole material world. How this is what it is, you know? There is no more than that. You know, it's the 5 great elements, the false ego, the intelligence, the manifest, and the 10 senses, and the mind, the 5 sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and convictions. All these are considered, in summary, to be the field of activities and its interactions. But then Prabhupada said, okay, these are the interaction of the field of activities, but actually the process of getting out of those elements is this one, you know? humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with wife, children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness, that means pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, constant, and unalloyed, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. This is so fantastic. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge as described here is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chanania yogena bhaktir avyavicharini, which is the process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. What is that verse? Uttama. Yeah. Yes, Uttama Bhakti. I know because I recently checked that verse. I was taking this Uttama. I also say Uchate so many times. This Uttama. Yeah, we're confused with this. But yeah, it is actually. I was thinking about this Ahai Tukia Pratihata. I think it's that one. Oh, no, it's not that one. I'm looking for that verse. Yes, completely satisfy the self. Must be completely uninterrupted and unmotivated. This is the first canto. I think it's second chapter. One of those verses, 17, or I cannot remember which one. Ahai tukya pati, yeah, yato bhakti adoksa je. Yato bhakti adoksa je, yeah. Okay. 1 to 17 maybe, or 18, I don't remember which number. Or 11, no, I cannot remember. Anyways, that section there. Yes, the most important, you know, Prabhupada is saying here. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Majicha nanya yogena bhaktir avyavicharini. Haribo. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. You know? Haribo. So, if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. Maichanani yogena bhaktir avyavicharini. Okay, which number is that? Savaipum samparadamo. That one, unmotivated and uninterrupted, to completely satisfy this. To completely satisfy the self must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So it's the same thing. Just to finish, before ecstatic bhajans come, just this line. Mayi chananya yogena Bhakti Ravya Vicharini, which is 11, 4, 4, 8, 12, 11. Is it? No, it's not 11. Okay, 1, anyway, it's not, according to this, is the 8, 12, 13th line. Papa, I think Prabhupada didn't count. Mayichananya yogina bhakti avyavicharini. Is it? Is the 11th line? Well, maybe it's like 11th counting from the other 4. Could be 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th, exactly. It's the 11th counting from the 6 and 7, 8 to 12. Okay. So, Mayi, Chananya, let me see, it's here. Mayi, and to me, Cha, also, done in Sanskrit, Ananya Yogena, by unalloyed devotional service, Ananya Yogena, Bhaktir, it's clear, eh? Bhaktir says here, it is in Sanskrit, it's not a proper made it up, it says Bhaktir, yeah? Bhaktir avyavicharini, you know? And sometimes Prabhupada is accused of this putting bhakti where there is no bhakti, says yoga. But very clear. It says, Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyavicharini. Devotion, bhaktir devotion. Avyavicharini, without any break. Avyavicharini. Vivikta. Danda goes to solitary place, etc. Okay, so I end up here. So tomorrow more. Thank you. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada ki. Glory to all, glory to Bhagavad Gita class ki. Jai.